you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding, but it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking with you again today about what we call the Lord's Prayer, or the Our Father, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples when they asked him to teach them to pray. Prayer is not merely a religious duty. Sometimes if you ask a person if he's a Christian, he will say, yes, I pray, I go to church, I give tithes, and those are religious duties. But they're all much more than that. Prayer is not merely a religious duty, but an ordered action. It is not only an experience, but a living, vital, daily interaction with the living God. Prayer, as a hymn writer said, is the Christian's vital breath. It's like breathing. It's the air in which we survive spiritually. Now, the Lord's Prayer, as I said yesterday, is a model for us whereby we may learn to pray in a way that takes into account who God is, where God is, what God's will is, and how our prayers can fit into that will. The Lord's Prayer makes immense demands upon us, and immense possibilities open out to us as we study it. There are 7 linked phrases, basically, in the Lord's Prayer, which were a part of a Jewish prayer originally in the Old Testament. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, he gave them this. And they might have said, but we already knew all that. Do you feel that way when you say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name? Well, I could rattle it off as a little child. I don't remember when I memorized it, probably by the age of 2, 2 and a half, whenever I could talk, because as you parents observe, your children, the smaller they are, the more quickly they can memorize. So just let me put in a word of strong advice to you parents. Take advantage of that wonderful ability to memorize that little children have. It's how they learn their mother tongue so fast. It's how they learn just about everything else. I've been told, I think, that we've learned half of what we're ever going to learn by the time we're 2 years old. So the memory is just remarkable. And I memorized this and rattled it off at the end of our family prayers along with my brothers and sister. We didn't pay a whole lot of attention to what the words meant. So if to you the Lord's Prayer is just a vain repetition, and we know what Jesus said about vain repetitions, let's stop and consider the fact that there's nothing wrong with repetition. There is something wrong with vain repetition, just parroted, insincere, hollow, nothing but a charade. But it doesn't have to be a vain repetition. And when I begin my prayers in the morning with this very familiar model that Jesus gave us, I pray that he will enable me to invest the words with my own honesty and sincerity and integrity. So we don't already know all that. There are depths to be plumbed in this prayer that may surprise us as we study it together. Have you entered into its treasures, its profound depths? These 7 characters speak of a fundamental relation to God. These 7 linked phrases that I mentioned, which were a part of a Jewish prayer. The first is, Our Father, The second is hallowed be thy name. The third, kingdom. And if you're taking notes, you can just write down Father, hallowed, kingdom. That takes care of the first three. Number four is will. Thy will be done. Number five is bread. Number six, forgiveness. Number seven, guidance. And finally, the great affirmation of faith, which is not used by all Christians, but for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So let's look at those. The first one is our Father, and I'd like us to think particularly about that word our. We read in the first chapter of the Gospel of John that to as many as received him, he gave the power to become the children of God. Now that is a very important fact to get hold of. Sometimes we say that all human beings are the children of God, and there is a sense in which that's true, in that we are created by him. He is the Father of all. And yet in the New Testament, we are told very clearly that only those who receive him have all the privileges of sons and children. So if you want to use the phrase, our Father, then you must make sure that you've received him. He is our Father, the Father of those of us who come to him by faith and simply surrender ourselves to him. Then the second phrase, hallowed be thy name, is an act of pure adoration. I wish that my prayers included more pure adoration. When I'm prompted to pray, it's usually because I need something, or I want something, or I want to talk to God about something. I'm asking the Lord to help me to learn to adore, to worship. Well, there's a phrase that I can use in my prayers, hallowed be thy name. May thy name be holy, would be another translation. And then the third, thy kingdom come, indicates that I am prepared to cooperate with God in his redemptive action, because his kingdom is where his will is done. Wherever the will of God is obeyed, there is the kingdom of God. I want my heart to be a part of the kingdom of God. I want my heart to be the place in which the will of God is obeyed. And so when I pray, thy kingdom come, I am committing myself. I'm sticking my neck out. I'm going right out on a limb and saying, Lord, I want to cooperate with you today in whatever that kingdom's coming may involve. And to quote old Gert Bahana again, if you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, you better duck. Because God is going to take you up on that. Which brings us to the fourth phrase, thy will be done. And this is an act of self-abandonment. Not my will. The fifth, give us this day our daily bread. What could be a more simple, humble reminder of the fact that we are just ordinary human flesh and blood beings, and we need food? Give us this day our daily bread. We're going to get into the wider meaning of that phrase on another day. Then forgiveness. We not only are human and hungry, but we also are human and sinful. Forgive us our debts or our trespasses. Number seven, lead us not into temptation. Guide us, Lord, into paths of righteousness and peace. And then finally, that great affirmation of faith. Well, I'm not going to talk about each of those today. They certainly all could be vain repetitions unless we understand them as the right desires of every Christian, the fundamental acts of every soul who prays. Sometimes we're hurried and distracted. Sometimes we pray loudly, and I've heard the Lord's Prayer prayed by a group of people in Jerusalem just shouting. They were a tour group, and they were standing outside one of the holy places, and they were just yelling the Lord's Prayer. I'd never heard anything quite like it. It's not merely a set form of universal obligation, as Evelyn Underhill says. Coleridge said, "It is considered so true as to lose all the powers of truth and lie bedridden in the dormitory of the soul." In other words, the Lord's Prayer has become a cliché for some of us. And a cliché is something that loses all the powers of truth. And I like his vivid metaphor, lies bedridden in the dormitory of the soul. Lord, wake me up is my prayer. The Lord's Prayer brings together heaven and earth, the divine and the human, the visible and the invisible, God and man. Man beset by nature and cherished by grace, as one writer has said. This one brief, short prayer brings together all those things, heaven and earth, divine and human, visible and invisible, God and man, man beset by nature and cherished by grace. That's what I am. Beset by nature, but cherished by grace. Amazing grace. I know that there are some listeners today who feel powerfully beset by nature, very much overcome by the world, discouraged, feeling forgotten by God. A failure in the spiritual life. Is that you? How successful have you been this week in your spiritual life? If your neighbor or your husband were watching, would he see in you the life of Christ? Well, we are all failures in some measure. Am I talking to someone who is weighed down by his own inescapable humanness and fallibility? I want to remind every one of you that you're cherished by grace, loved with an everlasting love. Pray the Lord's Prayer today. Think about it quietly, slowly. Ask the Lord to teach you to pray.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.